live on American Family Radio. This is Peter Rosenberg, and this is the nation's number one show for you as a family caregiver. How are you doing? How are you holding up? What's going on with you? Why is it important that we talk to the family caregiver? Well, more than 65 million Americans right now serve as a family caregiver. You may be one of them. Maybe you're the one that is staying up late at night, doing laundry, cleaning up, getting on the phone early in the morning, talk to insurance companies or pharmaceutical companies, doctor's offices, setting up appointments, making breakfast, grocery shopping, holding down a job, all the things that go along with being a family caregiver. And don't forget those late night conversations with the ceiling fan when you wonder how in the world are you going to get through this. And this is the journey for so many who are serving as a family caregiver, and this is why we do the show. If you want to be a part of the show, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I'm bringing 35 years and counting of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. And if you want to weigh in with some thoughts you have or struggles that you're having, this is your time. Now, we're going to go into a topic. We're going to deal with some things, but if you have something that is pressing on you, feel free to interrupt us and take us into that place. We'll do the best we can to address whatever's going on with you. We don't solve problems on the show because we can't. We can't fix your problems any more than you fix mine, but what we can do is talk about them, see if we can get a new perspective and a better way to care for each other through this process. It is a difficult journey to care for someone with a chronic impairment, and we can easily get disoriented, which brings us to our opening monologue this morning. You know, slowing down tops the list of directives from the National Weather Service to drivers encountering a fog. Now, how many of you ever encountered a fog? Well, furthermore, they recommend using low beam lights because the high beams create a glare. Well, caregivers find themselves often in a fog, not the fog that consists of water vapor, but the caregiver fog, which is fear, obligation, and guilt. Without exception, every caregiver will experience these difficult feelings in their journey. Yet the National Weather Service directive also applies to us as family caregivers. When disoriented by the caregiver fog, slow down and try not to see too far ahead. While fear of the unknown twists us in knots, feeling obligated quickly leads to resentment. Furthermore, the amount of guilt torturing caregivers is heartbreaking. All of these feelings can cause us to careen off the road and into real danger. Slowing down while giving ourselves space and grace and dealing with what's directly in front of us, not the high beams of trying to see way down in the future, but if we just deal with what's directly in front of us, helps us better navigate the fog of caregivers. And that is our opening monologue for today of learning how to slow down and deal with what's right in front of us. That is one of the more toughest challenges I think I've faced in my 3.5 decades of this as a caregiver, of learning how to better just deal with the moment. And it is a hard thing, particularly when you're dealing with real life, hard pressed issues. And so that is our opening topic we're going to address today for this. And also I'm going to go over to the caregiver keyboard, and I'm going to play a song that I want to see if you know it. And we're going to talk about what the text of this song says to us as family caregivers and what it means to us to help us slow down a little bit in the caregiver fog. And if you know the song, feel free to give us a call, 888-589-8840. Now, here we are at the caregiver keyboard. Thank you. right, do you know that one? 888-589-8840, if you know that hymn. Does that resonate with you? Do you know that song? That's one that's a lot of fun to sing. There's a lot of moving parts, and there's a lot of text in that song. But there's the text directly applies to us as family caregivers. 888-589-8840, if you know that song. And at the bottom of the hour, coming back from the break, you'll hear my updated version of that that I did with Gracie many years ago, in the early 90s. And I found this. I have, basically forgotten I'd written this. And I took that text and made it into different music for it. And she sang it. And I can't find the whole song. I've got the bumper that I did of it, but I can't find the whole song. And I don't know where it is. So I would release it and let play the whole thing out there, but I can't find it. I just did a bumper of it for the show, and I'm like, oh man, where's this song? And I've been, and I have an old hard drive where I kept a lot of this stuff on, but then I can't find the monitor cord that goes with that. It has a different kind of plug for it, so I couldn't open it up and look at it and see what's in there. So it's like, you got to be kidding me. So I'll try to find it. I'll keep looking. I normally store everything out on the cloud where I can get to it, and I just, all this head, so little brain. But anyway, so that's our caregiver song for today, is this hymn, and the lyrics are particularly meaningful. Now, again, let me give the overarching philosophy of this show. We don't get into the nuances of caregiving very often. We'll swerve into it if there's a situation that requires it, but we're talking about the core issues of a family caregiver, and those core issues, things that are going on in our heart. What we deal with as caregivers is not unique to us. It is the human condition. We just deal with it on a relentless nuclear level. On any given day, we're having to, we're going to push ourselves and deal with these heart issues. And so if we're dealing with a heart issue, then that means we're dealing with things that Scripture covers. And that's where we focus on this show. If you get a call into the show, and by the way, he'll just put you on hold, because evidently I think he's having some trouble hearing you. So he'll just put you on hold, and we'll just answer the call live on the air. So we'll do the best we can with it. And but if you know that song, 888-589-8840, and we'll take your calls on that. But just be patient with us as we try to answer these calls. All right, so this song is going to cover. I'm going to give you a little bit of a teaser for it. It's "Reaching to All the Lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty." Okay? These are lyrics in this song. And I want you to hang on to these lyrics in the midst of the craziness that we often deal with, because they are very difficult things. And it's that as we struggle along with the journey, we're going to be losing our minds sometimes. We get lost in what I mentioned earlier, that caregiver fog. This is a way that we anchor ourselves back into solid ground. Now, you and I both know that in the journey of caregivers, that we're going to be hit hard with a lot of things. So what does solid ground look like for us? How do we maintain sanity in the midst of the craziness that we deal with? That's what these lyrics talk about. And we're going to talk about that and more and take your calls. He's probably just going to answer it and put you on hold. We'll get your calls live on the air in just a few moments. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back.
They could not take his joy. Hey, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, and I met 12-year-old Barack when I visited Tanzania, Africa. He is an albino, and if you suffer with albinism, you lack a pigmentation in your skin, hair, and eyes, and in this part of the world where witchcraft is so prominent, witch doctors believe that someone like Barack is an evil spirit that must be destroyed. And so on the way to school one day, they cut off his left arm, took the fingers on his right hand, took his teeth, took his tongue, but they could not take his joy. Why? He is a born-again believer, and even though the father left the home many years ago, the mother mother, Mary, endeavored to raise him to know and love Jesus, and together they've learned to forgive through the hope of the gospel those that attacked him. And would you know it, 100 people have come to Christ, two of those former witch doctors who at one time sought to harm him. Look, we're sending Bibles to Africa. Hope is needed there, and you can be a part of this at only $5 a Bible, $100 sends 20. Call 800-YES-WORD, 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 or give at sendbiblesnow.org.
I feel so hopeless. Hopeless.
Is there any hope? I just feel like there's no hope at all.
Is there any hope?
Get hope.
Nothing causes me to lose hope like disappointment.
That's TWR President Lauren Libby.
Something I'd been counting on didn't happen. A relationship goes south. Trust lost in someone or something I had counted upon. When disappointment strikes, my frame of reference gets very, very short. Everything focuses on the short-term disappointment. What's the cure? Realizing that better things are ahead. Jesus said he would never fail or forsake us. He promised to be with us no matter the circumstances. He has our best interests at heart. And he always offers a brighter long-term future. Disappointed? Lost hope? Tell Jesus and see your hope quotient rise.
Need more hope? We have resources waiting for you, including a free devotional. You'll find them at GetHopeRadio.com. That's GetHopeRadio.com.
'Cause with Jesus, I can take it. Oh, as him, I know I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the show for you as a family caregiver. We're glad to have you with us. That's Gracie from her CD, Resilient. And you can get a copy of that if you'd like over at hopeforthecaregiver.com, hopeforthecaregiver.com, and see more about this. We're having a little bit of problems with the callers, so I'm just going to just answer them live on the air and do the best we can, all right? So if you call in, he's just going to pick up, put you on hold, and then I'll answer you on the air. So 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's go to, all right, this is Peter. Welcome. You're on the show live. Tell me your name and where you're from.
Hi, Peter. This is Don from Lafayette, Indiana.
Don from Lafayette, Indiana. And how are you feeling this morning, Don?
Oh, I'm feeling great. I'm on my way to take packages to customers, driving for one of the big worldwide delivery services.
Are you a caregiver, Don? Are you a caregiver? I think we lost Don there. All right, good morning. You're on the air. How are you feeling? Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello?
Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead. Tell me your name.
Bonnie Blessler.
And where are you from?
I'm from Raymondville, Missouri.
Well, and how are you feeling this morning? This is Peter. You're on the air. Go ahead. How are you feeling this morning?
Oh, I feel pretty good. I woke up and I'm thankful.
Well, that's good. And are you a caregiver?
I have been, yes.
Well, who did you take care of?
My husband.
And? Anything you want to add on that?
The only way we got through that was the grace of God.
Which brings us to our musical trivia this morning, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It certainly does.
Do you know that hymn?
All the words. It's He Touched Me.
No.
No.
No, it's not He Touched Me. He Touched Me is a... That's He Touched Me. This one... So I'm going to move the microphone over here. This one is a little different. That's a little different. He touched me is a little different. But I think you did a great job in calling in early this morning, and I'm glad that you got through this thing with your husband. What did your husband deal with?
He had pancreatic cancer.
And so and when did he pass away?
About 8 years ago now.
And so what are you doing today?
I'm actually an assistant at the Head Start, and I'm loving it. In a long time in my life, God placed me there, and I just love being around the children and helping.
Well, I think that's marvelous. Well, listen, I'm going to jump onto some other calls, but thank you so much for calling. I really do appreciate it. We're going to keep going until we get somebody gets this hymn here. So welcome to the show. This is Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter. You're on the show live. Tell me your name and where you're from.
I'm from DeRidder, Louisiana.
DeRidder, Louisiana. And your name?
Is Doretta.
Loretta. All right, Loretta, did you know the song?
Yes, sir, I do. It's Wonderful Grace of Jesus.
Wonderful Grace of Jesus. And
yes,
isn't,
sir.
That a, isn't that a great hymn?
Oh, yes, I love it.
It's one of my favorite. Now, that's a complicated hymn to sing and play.
I understand. I play the piano and the organ.
Well, do you play for your church?
Yes, sir, I play the organ every service that I'm there.
Can you play this one on the organ?
I'm not sure on the organ. I've played it on the piano before.
It's a trick, isn't it, to play this one on the piano?
Yes. Yes, sir. And I play by ear, and I've been writing some songs, and I love music.
Well, I do too.
In fact, I'm a caregiver, and the lady that I sit with, she's 85 years old, and yesterday, well, we have devotions every day that I'm there, 3 days a week, and we pray together. We have devotions, and yesterday we sang, I don't know how many songs, and it just puts a special part in her day, and mine too, in fact.
Well, one of the things I like to do on this show is take these old hymns and introduce them in a way that, you know, may be new to some people, maybe first time they've ever heard it. But I have found them to be extremely comforting and strengthening and encouraging when you deal with this lyric. Now, wonderful. Here's the first verse. Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. And once we understand that, once we understand that concept, that's going to permeate into every part of our lives, including being a caregiver. And
that's correct.
The most of the bondage I have found that we caregivers struggle with, now you back me up and see if this is right, is the bondage that's in our hearts.
That's right.
Yes, we have serious things that we have to attend to. We have a lot of things to do, but it's that fear, it's that obligation, it's that guilt, it's that all those struggles that we have in our hearts in those lonely moments and those difficult moments. And so I thought, if we can speak to that in a way that is clear and gets right to the heart of the matter, to the guts of the matter, then we give ourselves a much better direction on how to navigate through these problems. Now, does that resonate with you?
Yes, sir.
Well, now, what is your favorite hymn to play as a church organist?
I love to play He Abides. And, let's see. He hideth my soul, so precious is Jesus. I could just list them on and on. I just love the hymns. They are so rich and deep in meaning. They're not shallow. They have rich truths that are in there that speak volumes to the, you know, to my heart. And, I just love Jesus. That's what I love. I love the old hymns.
I share that joy with you, and I love playing them myself. And I try to play them in a way that is maybe different than what people have heard. I slow them down a lot because I want people to spend some time with the text.
Oh, well, I think you play wonderful.
Well, thank you very much.
Great God-given talent. And
well, thank you. I've been playing since I was five, and I would go up to my dad was the minister of the church in Atlanta, and the earliest memory I have of going to the keyboard is I would go up to the church at the front of the church after the service, and they had a beautiful piano up there, and I would sit there and try to bang on that piano, and I know that I caused a lot of people to kind of put their head in their hands. And
I just have to tell you a situation. My mom, when I was about 10 years old, bought me a little organ that was maybe a foot long, but you had to make the chords on it yourself. Well, I learned on that little organ to make to make some chords, and then later on, my dad bought me an old upright piano, and my dad wasn't a Christian, and he would say on Sunday afternoon, sit down and play me some songs. So I'd get about three of them played. He said, okay, I've had enough. And so I would take that organ, and I'd run me an extension cord out into the middle of the yard and just play to my heart's content. I didn't know anything, but I just played by ear. And that's what
Well, you know what? We had one of those little keyboards in the home where you press the buttons and it would give you the chords. And that's where I learned how to figure out what chords were the same way.
Uh-huh.
And I just kept sticking with it and sticking with it and taking lessons and so forth. And it became just a huge part of my life. I'm grateful that I get to weave it in here on the show here because my knowledge, I'm the only one that hooks up a live keyboard to the show on a live show here. And
I enjoy it every Saturday whenever I wake up and I I've tried to call before, but I hear the hymn and I thought, oh, I know that one, you know, and anyway, just about every one of them I've heard, but I really enjoyed.
Well, that is very gracious of you to say that. And I thank you for that. I hope that as the day goes on, that people remember if nothing that they can remember other than the first line, Wonderful Grace of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can remember that, and of course we love the chorus of it, Wonderful the Matchless Grace of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
deeper than the
mm-hmm.
mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, mm-hmm. sparkling like a fountain, all sufficient grace for even me. And so I just think that's wait till you hear Gracie coming back from the break on the version that I did with this. Wait till you hear that here in a few minutes when we come back from the bottom of the hour, because I think you'll get a kick out of it. And we will update this song, and I will record it again and I'll try to find the older version, the whole version of it. I can't believe all I have is the bumper for it, but I will find it. I promise you, I will find it.
I wanted to ask you one question.
Yes, ma'am.
Being that you're in, do you know anything about getting songs published? How to go about that?
Well, yes, there are several ways you can do that. You can certainly publish it yourself, and you can go out through different online services to do that kind of thing. And there's places that can go out and do research on it. Depends on which one you like. And there's all kinds of ways you can do that. It's all out there online. You can talk to some of the performance royalty organizations like BMI and ASCAP, go on their website, and they have some FAQs and things such as that. So there's lots of different ways. And that'd be a great thing to do. And I tell you, from one church pianist to another, you've made my morning. So thank you for calling
Bishop
in.
E.W. Jackson is on a mission.
Some people are just embarrassed to be Americans. That's a big problem. I mean, I've heard people say that. They're embarrassed to be Americans. I'm not embarrassed to be American. I love my country. I'm thankful to God that I'm an American. I'm thankful to God to live in this land of freedom and opportunity and hope. And I'm fighting to make sure that that never changes.
The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson, every weekday at noon Central on AFR, or catch the podcast at afr.net.
Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. We as God's people need to be good stewards of all that He has given us. That is so important, and that's what drives me each day as I break down the latest financial numbers and talk to listeners across the country about their use of the money that God has entrusted to them. Join me each morning from 8 to 10 Central and Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock Central Time for Financial Issues right here on American Family Radio.
I'm William Owens, America's poet. Hope. Sunshine on my face, singing with my voice, joy in my soul. I am alive with hope coursing through my being. Regardless of what it looks like, there is hope because there is God. Hope does not come from creation. It comes from our Creator. Regardless of what the times might look like, regardless of what political party might be in charge, regardless of the difficulties you might be facing in your life, God is a God of hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Our hope should not rest in creation. It rests only in the power of the Creator. I want to encourage you today to rise up, look up, and be filled with hope.
This was a poetic expression of hope, love, and forgiveness from America's poet, William Owens. For the entire poem, his on-demand poetry concert, and more, please visit americaspoet.com.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the show for you as a family caregiver. That is my wife, Gracie, from a long time ago when I rewrote the music for today's musical trivia hymn, Wonderful Grace of Jesus. And that's the chorus. And I can't find the whole recording of the song. I've got to find this thing somewhere. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. If you knew that hymn, if you know that hymn, if it's important to you, if you got a story about it that you like, or it's something you know, whatever your favorite hymn is, and I'll try to play it sometimes if I can, if you call in. But I wanted to introduce that hymn to the audience today, to you guys, to take a listen to it, the text of it. That was, of course, the chorus of it. The second verse, I love this. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Now, why is that important to us as a family caregiver? Because if we understand this on a core level, at our soul level, it's going to change everything in the way we give care to the ones we're with, even if it's an adversarial relationship, even if they are bitter or mean or whatever. It doesn't matter, because there's something going on that is transforming us internally that allows us to extend the same grace that we ourselves have received. Once we understand what it is that we have received, then we can better reflect that to others. Paul says in Corinthians, comfort one another with the same comfort you yourself have received from the God of all comfort. Well, it's very difficult to comfort other folks with that same comfort if we haven't received that comfort, and it's there for us. And so we'll talk about the third verse here in a minute, but I want to talk to Mary. Mary, I don't know exactly where you are, Mary. Mary, where are you calling from?
I am calling from South Carolina.
South Carolina. Well, that's where I'm from, Mary.
Well, we have something in common.
Whereabouts in South Carolina?
Columbia.
Columbia. Well, I went to Columbia Bible College many, many, many years ago for several years, and I'm from the upstate up there in Anderson. You ever heard of Anderson?
I have, yeah.
You ever been there?
Yeah, sure.
Well, tell me what's going on with you this morning.
Well, my husband has Parkinson's,
with Parkinson's dementia, probably with Lewy bodies. And he's making irrational decisions. Yesterday, he paid $1,450 for another stock program. He already has several. He loves to buy stocks. And he's really not able to do that anymore. And we're having a sort of a tiff here because I don't think he should spend that money on the program. And I don't know what to do. Should I, well, as you said before you came on with me, extend him grace and just let him do whatever he wants? Or should I try to control him?
Well, grace doesn't mean you allow people to do whatever they want. That's different. God extends us grace, but that doesn't mean we're allowed to do whatever we want, certainly without consequences. And this is your money, too.
Yep.
You know, this is yours. And so, no, this is not a situation where you are in any way obligated to allow him to flitter away. I mean, if he had spent $1,400 on lotto tickets, what would you do?
I wouldn't be happy about that either.
Well, I mean, what would you do, though? It's one thing to be unhappy about it, but what would you actually do?
If he had already bought the tickets, I don't think there'd be anything I could do.
Well, there is something you can do moving forward. I mean, what moving forward, you have the option to do what? You can control the finances in a much different way. So he has limited access to funds. If he's spending money which in a way that you feel like is reckless, then you have the opportunity and really the obligation to go in there and put some structure in this. Because if you don't, he'll do it again.
Oh, yeah. He forgets what he has.
Well,
and then he does it again. Yeah.
So how do you can work with the bank, or you can work with, you know, sit down in moments of lucidity and say, we need to have a some kind of checks and balances on this thing. And it's a painful conversation to have, but it needs to have, because I don't think if he was in his right mind, would he want to leave you without resources?
No,
and
I don't think he
that's
would.
That's a question that's worth asking him. When he has moments of lucidity, he said, look, are you comfortable leaving me without resources?
Well,
and leaving you.
He will point to his success that he's had in the stock market, and
I'm sure he has. Is he comfortable with, though, flitting away money and spending it recklessly? I mean, if he has that much money that he can just go ahead and just spend recklessly, that's one thing. But I don't know that that's the case. But if you're unhappy about it, and if you're concerned about it, and this is yours, and you have ownership in this as well, then that's a conversation that needs to be had, preferably with someone else, maybe a third party that can help you guys navigate through this. And is there somebody, a financial advisor or anything that he trusts?
I mean, I can think of a few people that he would probably trust. Yeah.
Well, maybe it's time to bring some of those people in, whether it's a financial advisor, a pastor, a child, somebody, an adult child that you have, or somebody that anybody that he trusts,
okay,
as a third party that you trust as well, and say, look, I just want to put checks and balances on him. Obviously he's been very successful at this in days past. He may still be successful at things again, but it's going to be hit or miss when you're dealing with dementia.
Yeah.
And dementia is not necessarily it's not something that's going to just get better with time. Is he driving?
No.
Why not?
He can't. Because
so if he can't if he
anymore.
Can't drive, why would you give him a checkbook?
And a credit card.
Okay. If he can't drive, if you feel like his disease has progressed to the point where driving is a danger to himself and others, why would you want to give him a checkbook or access to credit card checkbook that he can make decisions with serious consequences?
Yeah.
And so that's a question that needs to be answered, it would seem. And so I would bring in a third party that you guys can trust, sit down and have a legitimate. You don't want to just all of a sudden make him completely dependent, and you just can't be trusted with anything else. He needs to have agency and things that he can do, but he also, you know, any good financial manager would tell you you want to have responsibility and checks and balances in this. I would certainly recommend not getting somebody from Congress, because clearly they don't understand that concept. But, you know, anybody in the federal government is completely clueless on this. We need to take away their checkbooks. But in this particular case, I would recommend very, very highly, and I don't like to give advice, but it would make a lot of sense to have this conversation. It will happen again otherwise. Mm-hmm. He will continue doing this. He'll forget about it and he'll do it again. And then you'll just stay in a state of, oh my gosh, he's just spending money recklessly. And that's no way for you two to live.
No, it's not.
So, and back to your original question of, should I just extend grace? That would be a misappropriation of grace. Okay. This is a man who is not in his right mind at times. You know, he has a disease that has an impairment. And so grace in the context we're dealing with is on a heart level with understanding. In this particular case, you can be gracious with him and kind with him and thoughtful and considerate of who he is and what he's accomplished in his life. But you don't have to extend grace to dementia. You extend grace to a person. Dementia, you have to have boundaries with, and you have to have structure so that they don't get hurt and hurt others. That there's a difference. Grace is meant to deal with it on a soul level, on us as we're extending grace to each other as Christ extended grace to us. But impairment is a different thing. And so he's impaired. Now you're going to be gracious to him. You're going to honor him. He's your husband. You love him and you respect what he's accomplished in his life. And that's extending grace to the man who he is, but you have to protect yourself and him from the dementia. And the dementia is the opponent, not him. Because if he was in his right mind, you'd be pretty much okay with his investments, I would assume. Is that correct?
Yeah, I never really held him back in any way from what he wanted to do. But now it's just different.
Right. So he's not making the decisions that he used to make. His dementia is affecting his decisions. So that's the issue, is dealing with the disease, not the person. Extend grace to the person, but boundaries for the disease.
Yeah.
And so that is to me, that would seem a better course of action. And to put boundaries on the disease, bring in a third party objective. Don't be the one that you're the one driving this ship. Because that's going to put you in a situation where he's going to then resent you or whatever. He's not going to necessarily process it. But if you have a team meeting where he has agency in this and he's relinquishing some of these things in order to have, you know, protection. Mm-hmm. It's a seatbelt. That's all it is. Yeah. It's a seatbelt. And
well, that's good advice.
Well, I hope it helps. Let me know. But do bring in a third party, but extend, by the way, here's where the grace can be appropriated. Extend the grace to yourself right now. What you're dealing with is very hard, Mary. And extend that grace to yourself to realize you're going to flounder a little bit in this thing. But we're gonna help point each other to solid ground. Okay? Does that help?
Okay. Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
All right. Extend grace to yourself. Remember this song the rest of the day. Just wonderful grace of Jesus. Okay. That's a great thing to remember as we go through the day. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Peter Rosenberger. Have you ever helped somebody walk for the first time? I've had that privilege many times through our organization, Standing with Hope. When my wife, Gracie, gave up both of her legs following this horrible wreck that she had as a teenager, and she tried to save them for years, and it just wouldn't work out, and finally she relinquished them and thought, wow, this is it. I mean, I don't have any legs anymore. What can God do with that? And then she had this vision for using prosthetic limbs as a means of sharing the gospel, to put legs on our fellow amputees, and that's what we've been doing now since 2005 with Standing with Hope. We work in the West African country of Ghana, and you can be a part of that through supplies, through supporting team members, through supporting the work that we're doing over there. You could designate a limb. There's all kinds of ways that you could be a part of giving the gift that keeps on walking at standingwithhope.com. Would you take a moment to go out to standingwithhope.com and see how you can give? They go walking and leaping and praising God. You can be a part of that at standingwithhope.com.
Hi, I'm Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. 8 Days of Hope exists to love and serve those in need. Over the past 15 years, over 40,000 volunteers have helped 7,000 families rebuild their homes for free after natural disasters. We've also renovated and rebuilt facilities to bring hope and healing to those rescued from sex trafficking. Our rapid response ministry is busier than ever. With 40 deployments over the last 4 years, we've been able to minister to so many when it mattered most. It's completely free to serve with us. We provide your food and lodging when you volunteer. There's countless opportunities for any skill set and any skill level. We spend multiple weeks with those that have lost so much by cutting trees, tarping roofs, mucking out houses, and so much more. Consider joining us on our next outreach. You will never be the same. For more information about 8 Days of Hope, please go to 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver here on American Family Radio. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the show for you as a family caregiver. You put this love in my heart, Keith Green. Okay, why is that important for us as caregivers? You hear that. If you listen to the show with any regularity, then you'll hear that bumper of Keith Green's song. Now, for those of you who don't know who Keith Green is, go Google him, because he was a huge figure in the Christian music world. And this song, though, you put this love in my heart. Well, once we understand that, then that equips us then to issue and reflect that out from us. If we're trying to draw on our own strength, it's only a matter of time before we collapse and break down. By the way, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, if you want to be a part of the show. I think the phone lines are all working okay now for the most part. We got, can you believe this? It's Mother's Day weekend. We got 4 inches of snow this morning, and it's still coming down. We live up in Southwest Montana, and it's just hilarious to wake up to that kind of snow on Mother's Day weekend. So if you hear some scratchiness or connectivity issues, that's because we're dealing with a significant sprinter out here. We don't have spring yet. We have sprinter. And, but 888-589-8840. And that brings us to the third verse of my hymn today that we did. And you heard it at the beginning of the hour. All right. The lyrics there are "Wonderful Grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled by its transforming power, making him God's dear child, purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me." That is a text that we can hang our hat on. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled, by its transforming power, making him God's dear child. Purchasing peace in heaven for all eternity, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Now, why is that important to us as caregivers? Why does that even matter? Well, once we understand that we have been transformed, we are God's dear child, purchased peace in heaven is for us for all eternity, then we can, that gives us the wherewithal then to engage in the lives of those we care for who are suffering, who are struggling, who are dealing with all manner of things in a way that is not demanding that they reciprocate. is not demanding that they do anything. We are any more than Jesus demanded of us. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He didn't come and beat the door down. And so once we understand this and how he stretched out his hand to us, remember the story of the leper. He stretched out his hand. Now, why is that important? Well, he didn't have to stretch out his hand. He could heal without stretching his hand. You remember the Roman centurion and his servant? Jesus healed him remotely. The father with the son with the high fever, Jesus healed him remotely. He didn't have to touch to do it, but he did it with the leper. Why? And I think that's a real picture of what God does with us. He reaches the most defiled. And by the way, that's us. If we ever are confused on that, that's us. People say, "Well, at least I'm not like that guy." Oh, yeah, you are too. And sin is sin. And you know, you may not have committed something that's going to put you on death row in this world, but sin will put you on death row, period. The wages of sin is death. That's it. So he reaches the most defiled by its transforming power, making him God's dear child, purchasing peace in heaven for all eternity, and the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Once we get our hands around that, our heart around that as caregivers, it's life-changing. It gives us the calmness and the fortitude and the wherewithal to be able to walk calmly in the midst of the craziness that is demanded of us each day as a family caregiver. Okay? That's how we do it. Now, we can certainly talk about all the issues like we had the last segment. We had a caller dealing with financial issues and so forth. But we don't extend grace to let people just do whatever they want to do. We have boundaries. We have structure. But we extend grace on a soul level, on a heart level. That's where the battle is. And this is what we spend time with on this show. Let's go to Jeff in Tennessee. Jeff, good morning. How are you feeling, Jeff?
Hello there.
How are you feeling, Jeff?
You got a question?
I can.
I have, what do you do if I've got prosthetics and I lost my parents? And tell me more, little bit more about this ministry you've got.
Thank you for bringing that up. When Gracie lost her legs, there's a little bit of connection issue, so sorry about that. That's what happens when you get 4 inches of snow on Mother's Day weekend. But when Gracie lost her legs, she had this vision for helping her fellow amputees. And so what we started doing through Standing with Hope, which is the presenting sponsor of everything we do on the show, and Hope for the Caregiver, the whole thing. And we have two program areas. It's for the wounded and those who care for them. And for the wounded, it's for these those who are missing limbs, who have particularly with lower limbs, but we do arms as well. And we collect used limbs from all over the country, and they go to a prison now housed in Arizona, run by a wonderful organization named Core Civic, and these inmates volunteer to do this. They disassemble the legs for us. Now, not everything on a prosthetic limb can be recycled, okay? But you can recycle the foot, the pylons, the knees, the connectors, the screws, the adapters. You can reuse prosthetic socks if they're clean enough, liners and sleeves, the belt systems. There's all kinds of things that can be recycled. And there's no need for that stuff to fill up a landfill. We can recycle that and reuse those parts, and we send them all over to West Africa. We work with two different clinics over there. One is with the government of Ghana, their National Prosthetic and Orthotic Center. We've been doing this now for 15 years. Another smaller clinic that we work with as well. And we provide them with materials, and we'll sponsor patients. We even sponsor a surgery or two, particularly with children. When you lose a limb as a child through an accident, the bone will continue often to grow. It'll create what you call an osteophyte or something like that. I missed that day in music school when they were telling me about orthopedic surgery. But you can't wear a prosthesis if you have a bony protrusion. And so sometimes that has to be surgically removed. And so we've sponsored those kinds of surgeries so that the young child could wear a prosthesis. And all of this goes to this prison where they will recycle these limbs and then strip these legs down to all the usable parts, then go over there. So if you want to go out and find out more about that, go to standingwithhope.com/recycle. standingwithhope.com/recycle. And you can just go to Standing with Hope if you forget the recycle part. But that equips us to continue lifting others up. It's an amazing ministry that Gracie, and she's used them. She's had a lot of different prostheses over the years, and she's used some of her own legs in this journey to, you know, as she's gone through legs or whatever and changed different prostheses, kids that outgrow them. We always need pediatric ones. So please get the word out for that. Please don't let people throw this away. I had a lady call in one time and her husband had passed away and she had a leg that was sitting in the closet for 20 something years from back in the 90s. Well, yes, technology has changed a lot, but certain things don't change. The pylons that go with these, that doesn't really change that much. The connectors, the adapters, the tube clamps, all that kind of stuff. A lot of that stuff is still the same things been using for years. Gracie's been an amputee since 91. She became a double amputee in 95. And some of the same things are being used, and certainly feet and things like that. So I appreciate that, Jeff, for bringing that up. It's a great way to continue to equip others to stand with hope. And that's what we do, and we share the gospel with them as we do this. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk, and they do. And you can go out to standingwithhope.com today and see more about it and see what we do. We haven't been able to go over there lately. We used to take teams over there pretty regularly, but with the COVID, we've had to kind of put that on hold for a while. But we still do training and supplies, and we can do video training with the folks there. If they have a patient that is struggling with something, we will. They can connect with our prosthetist here. In fact, I was just talking to Gracie's prosthetist yesterday. She was visiting, getting some prosthetic adjustment. And as soon as the COVID thing settles down a little bit, he's planning on going with us over there. We're going to return back over. And Gracie says she's going. Check back with me on that before I take Gracie back over to Africa right now because she's dealing with her own set of challenges. But the point is that it's a great work that is, you know, it's small. We're just a small mom and pop, and we could use your help to do it. And so part of that is recycling limbs. So please, please, please let people know that a prosthetic limb, arms or legs, can be recycled. And that's a huge part of what we do and love doing it. And we always need pediatrics. So as kids outgrow these things, you know, we will take them. And if you got a foot with a shoe on it, a lot of people will send the leg with the shoe on it, but they won't put it in the other shoe. So make sure they put in the other shoe because we got a bunch of single shoes that becomes a little bit cumbersome because you don't have both the shoes. So anyway, it's just I'm really proud of Gracie for what she envisioned with this and wanting to equip her fellow amputees with this. And this is what we do as believers. We minister out of our brokenness. We minister out of our wounds. We minister out of the heartache that we have been comforted with. We comfort one another with the same comfort that we have received ourselves. And it all starts with that wonderful grace of Jesus that reaches the most defiled by its transforming power, making him God's dear child. Purchasing peace in heaven for all eternity in the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Once we understand that, it changes everything, doesn't it? We have had a great time today. Thank you for your patience with some of our technical challenges. And next week, hopefully, we won't have 4 inches of snow on a May day. This is Peter Rosenberger, Hope for the Caregiver. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. We'll see you next week.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.